Hello and finally welcome back to Super Podcast in our numbered form, and I don't even know what number it is, so whatever number it says, that's what it is.
It's the best one, Marcy, that's all you need to
know. Exactly. I am, of course, your host, Super Marcy, and I'm joined with my co-host, finally after like 2.5 months, and Indeed. It's Bede.
Oh, hi Marcy, how are you?
Hi. Doing okay, recovering from 2 months away.
Yeah, I've been recovering over the last 2.5 months too, Marcy.
Well, that's because you moved cities, isn't it?
I know. I'm now an official resident of Melbourne now. I don't live in my hometown anymore.
Nope. That means, I don't know, I get to make fun of you in person.
and bash me up on it.
Yeah, you'll just be in the hospital constantly.
Yeah, I'll be. Our relationship will be the Tina Turner and Ike Turner relationship of Melbourne. Except in this situation, you're Ike Turner and I'm Tina Turner.
Or I'll just be Holly Waits and you be Eyebrows Guy.
Exactly, that's a much better comparison.
Yeah, there's a Troll 2 reference right off the bat.
Yeah, and I actually had those eyebrows like Elliot.
So, you can just like sticky tape some caterpillars to your eyes. To your eyes. I might do
that the next time I see you, Marcy.
Awesome. I look forward to it.
Yep.
Now that little piece is done with and we're all caught up, that's what's happened last 2.5 months. I was on vacation / holiday, whatever country you're from and you want to call it, whatever.
And I was moving, so... Yeah.
And Bede moved, and it was just really difficult to try and do podcasts and stuff while away, hence why when I was away there was a few commentaries, because it was just easier to do those, and they were really fun, and I was really drunk.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Exactly.
That's what happens. When you're away, you always get drunk.
Oh, cool.
So this is our Spider-Man-themed show. It will be Amazing Spider-Man. And in this podcast, we'll have different opinions from different people. But we'll start off for Bede to vent about it because he didn't think it was very amazing. And he wants to explain to everyone why. And I will try not to judge him because he is entitled to his opinion. But just for the record, he's completely wrong. You knew that was coming.
You always tell, oh, well, I could get into a rant. Like, you always tell me all the time there's no such thing as a right or wrong opinion.
There isn't, but you're wrong.
Well, when it comes to my opinion, it's always wrong.
So. Yeah, mine is the only opinion that is ever correct.
So that was mine.
For the record.
for the record, of course.
Yeah, but if you want to say your piece and let everyone know what you thought and why you felt that way.
Okay.
Well, the floor is yours. I should explain that.
Sorry.
No, I was going to say the floor is yours.
Well, I should explain that I am a pretty big, Spider-Man fan. He was like one of my all-time favorite superheroes. I like read the comic books, played with the toys.
You played with his toys.
Oh, like Spider-Man toys. I used to have like a really big Spider-Man toy, like 20-inch one or something. I used to play with all the time when I was a kid. Watched the cartoons, really like the movies. I even had like the old 70s TV show on VHS with Nicholas Hammond as Spider-Man, and I still own that tape somewhere. So when it came to like this movie, The Amazing Spider-Man, at the time I was looking forward to, the third one didn't work out, so they were trying to make a fourth one, but of course Sam Raimi was being played by studio interference again, so he and Tobey Maguire and pretty much all the cast walked it, and so they'd say, oh, we'll just reboot the franchise. I thought, okay, that's all right. Yeah, I mean, you can continue on the story with a new director, new cast and all that type of stuff. But even though I was really looking forward to the time, my enthusiasm started to wane a bit when I found out that it's pretty much that's the origin story again. And I'm thinking, well, I mean, I know this is a whole new movie and all that stuff, but I mean, is it really necessary to do an origin story when, you know, like we already seen what happened 10 years ago? So I thought, okay, well, maybe they might do something a bit different, you know, make it, maybe he starts off as Spider-Man already and it's all in flashbacks and whatever. But I watched this film and I'll put out right away what I like about the film. I thought Andrew Garfield and Emma Stone were finally cast. I thought they did both a pretty solid job. And they both have really good on-screen chemistry. You can definitely feel that during the course of the movie. And it's no wonder they actually hooked up in real life. And also the supporting cast, like it's got some really good actors in all these, in the supporting roles that, that, you know, of actors who I like, and I'm thinking, okay, they might do a really good job with it as these characters. And for most part they do. And there's a couple of good moments in the film. Like there's a scene where involving, you know what I'm talking about, Marcy, that involves like Spider-Man creating like this kind of sonar spider web, like in the sewers, if you know, which I'm talking about. I thought that was a really interesting and scene because it's something we hadn't seen before. And I thought, okay, that's a cool scene. And also, there was another scene. And also, it has probably one of the best Stan Lee cameos of all time.
I thought it was the best one just because he was there and he didn't say anything. And it was hilarious.
Oh, well, how it was set up was pretty hilarious. We won't spoil what it is, but, you know, when you see it, it is pretty hilarious. And it did get a big laugh out of me. I guess my major problems with the movie is, again, it follows the origin story again. And for most part, the first half is all right. It's not like, like it follows the origin story again to a T. And I thought, okay, well, maybe they might do something a bit different. And they have this, like, add something that wasn't, that we hadn't seen in the other films, what happened to Peter's parents. So I thought, okay, maybe they might go over with that. And for at least the first half of the movie, they actually, well, in my opinion, they actually do follow that. But then for some bizarre reason, they seem to drop it all of a sudden and kind of don't go back to it until very, very end of the movie. And that actually happens not with this subplot, but with a couple of subplots during the course of the movie. There's another one where, spoilers, where Peter Parker goes after his uncle's killer, and he does that well, and then all of a sudden that's dropped, and then there was another one which there was another scientist that Dr. Kirk Connors was working with, who wanted to use his a serum, like the one that he's developing that would, you know, regenerate lost limbs, use on patients, and then there's this whole sort of a piece on a bridge where the lizard attacks a couple of cars and it attacks this guy's car. And then all of a sudden, for some bizarre reason, that character after that bridge scene...
Oh, like he's completely gone.
Yeah.
He and was just the Indian dude, and that was it.
Yeah, Efron Khan, who was in films like Slumdog Millionaire and all that, his character just disappears from the movie. And I kept thinking, that's a bit bizarre. And then I realized afterward there's a great article I think people can read called it's on the Badass Digest about was the untold story aspect, which where they pretty much all the promotion from the posters, the trailers kept like talking about was that entire section of the movie cut out. And there's like a lot of scenes that were in trailers and posters and pictures and all that. That was cut out of the movie, and
certainly feels like there's a lot cut out from it. Like you can feel that, and I think you know that does hurt it a lot because you can tell, which is you know, with people listening to this later on in the podcast when I speak to some other people, I kind of bring that up a little bit as well. So
yeah, like it like the second half of the movie, once the loser comes into play. That entire section of the movie does feel very choppy, and it makes me think that maybe, like you said, Marcy, a lot of stuff must have been in those sections, but they must have cut it out. And some people, from what I've read, believe that maybe because there was this whole thing that was hinted about in the trailers that was hinted of how Peter Parker, when he got his powers, it wasn't an accident. Like, it's not just the spider bite that gave him his powers. There was something in him that his father might have, like, you know, genetically done to make sure that those powers work for him. So.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a thing that in the movie that talks about, like, Dr. Connors talks about, and again, spoilers, how he's been trying to do that with rats and all that, but every time this works in their bodies, they just end up dying, and he's not sure why that is. And I have a feeling, and this is what I've heard, that maybe, and from what I hear, the untold story part didn't actually... like, from test screenings, people didn't like that, so they must have just decided to cut that all out.
Oh, it is possible, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they often do that, so...
Yeah, which is weird because they still, like, even promoted as that in the trailers and all that. Yeah. Even, like, which is weird, which I don't... Yeah. I guess one of the major problems I have with the film is the characterization of Peter Parker. Not to say that I don't think Andrew Garfield is bad. Maybe. I think he does a really good job. I think he does more with the part than what is written.
Because I've
grown up knowing what Peter Parker is, because I think anyone knows what he is. He's like this sort of outsider nerd who basically, you know, tries to make sure he's not in the crowd. And if there's any confrontation that comes his way, he either avoids it or he just lets the bullies beat him up. And then once he becomes, gets his spider powers, he becomes a bit of a jerk because he, like, realizes he can finally stand up to people and all that.
You know, if I suddenly had powers, I would be a humongous jerk.
I probably would be too.
I mean, it's kind of, and I'll be bringing this up later. You know, Chronicle is the same kind of thing. They kind of become very, what's the right word? I don't want to say jerk, but it's kind of
more confident.
Yeah, and they do really stupid and thoughtless things, and that's exactly how I would react. I would probably be an asshole.
I probably would too, but the thing is, I guess when I'm talking about how I feel like when it comes to Peter's character arc in the movie, why I didn't feel like it worked for me is because I don't feel like Peter actually learns anything, well, doesn't learn much as a character, because if you know, like I said, if you know the story of Peter Parker, becomes a jerk and then he becomes a wrestler and somebody gets robbed and he decides, oh, he becomes a jerk because, like, I say, I'm not going to stop that bad guy because it's none of my business and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, he finds out that his Uncle Ben gets killed when the criminal breaks into their house, and then he goes on a bloody rampage. And once he finds the guy, he realizes that that the man who killed his uncle was the man he didn't stop at the wrestling event. And I guess... I know the movie is trying to do something different, like, you know, because, I mean, it's trying to change some little things and all that, but the real reason why I think why Peter becomes Spider-Man is because of the guilt of what happened to his Uncle Ben. Like, if he stopped this guy, his Uncle Ben would have still been alive. And he realizes that he's not going to let that ever happened again. And that's why he stops becoming a jerk and realizes that, of course, with great power comes great responsibility. And he decides to become a superhero. But I don't feel like the movie does that any justice. Like, it does it a little bit, but it doesn't really go further with that. And I feel like as a character, Peter doesn't really learn that lesson of him becoming a hero. Might be a bit difficult for me trying to explain, but I think you know what I'm trying to say, Marcy.
I'm not too sure, but I'll
I guess like it. It's like the character arc for Peter, I don't feel like, in the film, is as good as it was in either the comics or the films and all that. I guess, I know, it's a bit hard to explain. And also at times, I don't feel like, and because the character of Peter Parker is a very selfless person, and he realizes that, you know, for at least a while, he's not going to try to, you know, let Pete, since he has to be Spider-Man, he has to keep making sure that all of his loved ones are safe, not to tell anyone that he has, that he's Spider-Man or doesn't have any, and all that. I guess the main difference is, I know I'm trying not to compare the films, but I have no idea where I'm going with this.
I honestly have no idea either. So
I've been thinking about this a lot, but it's not coming out in the way as I want to. I'll talk about other things. I felt like Uncle Ben's death in this film wasn't really that emotionally impactful. I found it actually, I just kind of felt nothing when he died, which is kind of a big deal because Uncle Ben's a character you're supposed to feel for. And even though Martin Sheen did a really good job, I just don't feel, but how the scene was set up, it did not emotionally pay off for me. And it had no impact on me whatsoever. And let's see. And also there's a couple of scenes in the movie, for the film, it's trying to be a bit more grounded and a bit more realistic as well as a Spider-Man film. But at times the movie kind of gets a bit tonally uneven. You got a scene where Peter's sleeping on the train and he wakes up and then all of a sudden he starts.
I thought crying. That was pretty. I had no problems with that scene, by the way.
Well, I guess I wouldn't have any problems with it. It just seems very out of place. I mean, if it's on its own, it can be funny, but when you sort of put it in the context of the film being this sort of grounded, more realistic kind of take on the character, it comes off a little bit too over the top and a bit too silly. And it sort of continues that for a while where Peter wakes up the next day and he falls over and pretty much destroys his bathroom.
I thought that was funny and I liked it.
Well, I can understand that. I'll admit the part where he's typing on his computer and all the knobs from the keyboard and all that stuck on his fingers and all that. I'll admit that was funny. But I don't know. I guess those scenes just really felt really out of tone with the rest of the film. And also, there were a couple other scenes like that, also with the football scene and all that, which didn't work for me either. Where he's throws the football at the goalpost and it just bends. And I'm thinking, okay, that's just dumb. I see some fun there, but I don't know. It just feels very out of tone with the rest of the film. And also, the second half is very problematic. Even though I just didn't find the villain of the Lizard all that interesting. Or was that?
I found that he was more interesting before he became the Lizard. And I think that they wanted to have this tragic character, but I just don't think it quite got pulled off.
Yeah, I can agree with that. And also, his motivations when he becomes a Lizard feels very muddled, and all of a sudden he wants to turn all the city into lizards. I'm like, well, where did that come from? It's not really set up for him to do that. And I don't know. It just seems really, and also there's certain aspects of the film I kind of wish the film went further with, but they didn't. It's a very problematic film. And it kind of frustrates me because it doesn't try anything that we haven't already seen before, and also doesn't really add anything new. In the end, for me personally, it just ended up just being kind of forgettable. Usually in a film like this, whether it's any type of superhero film, there's usually something, you'll remember long after the movie, but even then, there's not really anything that stuck to me that was worth remembering, other than the awesome Stan Lee cameo. I don't know. I think it might have been because they just cut stuff out, and maybe if they just left it as is, it might have been a bit better. And maybe it just been just a rather weak screenplay as well.
Yeah. And
poor kind of characterization as well. I don't know. That's just my main feelings. Because, like, I guess when it comes to me, and I'm sort of wrapping it up now, I felt satisfied by a movie. And all the others, like, the first two Spider-Man films, like, I was very satisfied by what I saw. The third one, yeah, not that satisfied at all.
But no.
With this one, like, even though I found it watchable, and I didn't mind it for most part, but when I sort of left the theater and sort of went home and sort of thought about what I saw and processed and all that, I just realized it didn't really satisfy me on any level, from a story, character, or emotional level. Like, there are hazards moments, but I don't know, it just didn't really satisfy me as a whole.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
I mean, that's fair enough.
And I do hope, like, if they do make a sequel, that they have a much stronger screenplay, much more stronger direction. Like, I wouldn't mind seeing another one, but I just hope that they sort of fix up the problems that this one had and, you know, try to make at least a better film. It just, I guess in the end, it just to me was just a forgettable film. And that's sad for me to say that because I am a fan of Spider-Man and it's sad for me to say something like that.
Yeah, and sad for us as fans that we had to sit through Spider-Man 3. By the way, thank you too for Grace for ruining everything. And yeah, Sam Raimi was just like, okay, studio, you want this? I'm just going to fucking make a shit heap.
And it kind of has to say something when I found actually kind of a little, even though the movie wasn't good at all, but I actually had things I remember from that movie or from this one.
Well, you tend to remember the awful a lot better.
Oh, yeah, the Peter Parker emo dance shit, which is awful, I agree. But there are some actual moments I did like from that movie, like when Sandman, like, starts forming, you know, when he becomes Sandman for the first time.
Yeah, it's a good scene. That's
a good scene. But I didn't feel like even those, as good as that scene is, I don't feel like any of the Amazing Spider-Man had any moments as good as that. But you know, that's just me. Like, you know, I don't know. I'm hoping that for the next one, they'll make a much better film. And that's all.
Basically, prepare to get hate mail from Logan. Yeah, well, look, we'll wrap this section up and there'll be two other segments on this podcast. And yeah. We'll be back soon. Have no fear, listeners.
See you, everyone.
Bye. So on this very special Spider-Man-themed podcast, I have the two guys who hang out too much, I think. Kupka and Matches. Hey, guys.
Okay. Hey, Marcy.
That was awkward.
I'm not sure what that meant, but
I don't know. It was awkward. If introductions aren't awkward, my job has not been done.
Okay.
There you go. So, you're here to talk about The Amazing Spider-Man, which I think has been a bit of a subject amongst everyone because people either like this, love it, or fucking hate it to pieces.
Agreed. And I don't get it. I don't get the hate at all.
Yeah, it actually really kind of pisses me off a little bit. And the thing is, I went and saw it the day after I got back, which was almost a week, well, over a week ago now, from recording this, because it'll be posted later. But, yeah, even though I was really tired and whatever, I mean, I really liked the movie, but the more I thought about it, the more I ended up liking it. But I just knew that people were going to have really stupid issues to hate on it with. And I don't know, it just pisses me off.
That's part of my problem is because, like you said, there's stupid issues. Like, to me, there is nothing in this movie that equates hate. Spider-Man 3, there were things in that movie that required you to hate them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see that. And I actually saw a friend of mine post on Facebook that he was going to go watch Spider-Man 3 to wash the bad taste of The Amazing Spider-Man out of his mouth.
Right, that's just fucking insanity.
Yeah, and this is a big comic book nerd. I'm like, you're a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
Who? Anyone I know?
No.
Don't ever introduce me to them.
Indeed.
Seriously, like, fuck. There's two complaints I can give people, and one of which is, I think, a direct result of the studio forcing it upon the director is the rehashing of the origin story.
Mm-hmm.
And the lack of snout for Doc Ock, or Doc Ock, Jesus Christ.
Blizzard, yeah.
Yeah.
And I just snorted.
Those are the only two things I can see people legitimately having a gripe over. But I think the studio forced an origin, and so he tweaked it to keep it separate. Otherwise, people would have been, why the fuck did they do the same origin story?
But it's completely, it's not completely different, but it's different enough that it feels fresh, at least for me.
Exactly. So and I still don't get the whole lack of snout thing. I don't understand it.
No, you know what? It's funny. He looked a lot like, and I've actually made the mistake when talking about him. He looked more like Croc, who's a Batman villain.
He did. Lizard.
Because Lizard always has the torn lab coat on, too.
Mm-hmm.
And everything about him was just way more Croc than Lizard. And it, really, my only gripe, it deals with Lizard as well, is... at some points, the CG was pretty poor on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
And you know, that's a shame, because at some points it was brilliant. But at other points, it was like, oh, you know, maybe money was a little tight, not sure. Because that was really the only CG flaw I found.
I'm guessing it would have cost him a lot to have him in a coat, you know, because you're dealing with that type of shit, too.
More textures and movements.
Exactly.
And stuff like that. Yeah. Mm. And, you know, I guarantee they put all the money of CG into Spider-Man, because Spider-Man looked fucking flawless.
Yeah, it did.
That was Spider-Man, just to say. Like, he looked, moved, felt like you would imagine him to be, and that is something that I felt was lacking from the previous efforts.
Completely. And the other ones, even in 2, which... most people go as being one of the top comic movies, and I still say it is, there are cartoony CG parts. And this never felt cartoony to me. And it was just something about the way the CG was done, and it was done a while ago and stuff too, so, you know, techniques have improved. But there were parts where you could just tell that, okay, this is a little... goofy, but it's fun because it's a comic book movie and I can get into it and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And another reason I will say, aside from the retelling of the origin, which I know some people have gripes with, but ultimately none of the core motivations behind the character I felt were changed, except that being like, oh, well, you know, his parents are too involved. Well, you know what? There's been like 6 or 7 different stories involving Peter's parents and who they were and stuff like that in comics too. So fuck that. Comics do that shit all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I think another reason they need to retell the origin, and I'm glad about this, is because they needed the web shooters.
And that was so awesome.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I loved it.
You couldn't just pick up where the other ones left off and all of a sudden have him needing web shooters. Mm-hmm. You needed to start like that. And now we can go anywhere in the Spider-Man universe because he is true Spider-Man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I like that.
Yeah. I agree. I had some issues. I mean, I could tell there was a lot edited out, so it didn't flow as well as a probably director's cut or whatever will. You could tell there was bits missing. I mean, that's fair enough. Usually theatrical cuts are going to be like that. So as you said, some of the CG was a bit crap. And Lizard just kept looking like a Goomba from Super Mario Brothers, the movie. Which...
that's harsh. But that's harsh.
Yeah, it was kind of distracting. But yeah, like you said, they did the thing with the ripped coat and stuff. And you could tell like that was a big like nod to... the character and whatever. I just felt he was a little underdeveloped and not as tragic as he could have been, which is pretty much the biggest strength of Raimi Spider-Man 2, is that Doc Ock is a very tragic kind of character.
Yes.
And it was developed perfectly, and I think that's what this was kind of lacking. But everything else, I mean, for me, Andrew Garfield was Peter Parker and Spider-Man. That's
100%.
That's what I remember from, you know, what I've read of Spider-Man. I mean, Spider-Man was the first comic I ever picked up. So it's because of Spider-Man I probably got into all this crap. Not that it's crap, but I'm just saying.
Exactly.
And
what I liked too is I liked the aspect of making him bug-like in some of his movements. And, like, the way Garfield conveyed that, I thought was awesome. Garfield conveyed the sarcasm and witty banter more, where in the Raimi ones it seemed more forced, where Garfield delivered lines even during the fights, like even with the tail scene where he has Lizard's tail, he's like, like, it didn't seem, like, it just fit with the character, like, everything seemed right. Where Maguire never could have pulled that off.
No.
He nailed both roles perfectly. He was able to separate Peter Parker and Spider-Man, because there really is. I mean, you know, there's a confidence in Spider-Man that there isn't in Peter Parker.
Correct.
And he conveyed that so well.
Yes.
It was so great. And the fucking, like other people have talked about, they showed Peter Parker's being, you know, smart, because he is, he's a smart motherfucker. They showed more of that.
Yeah, I love that.
They showed,
that
they
too.
Just, they made the Spider-Man the best that they could, as close to the comic, except the fucking parents thing. But you know what? Like you said, that's why they, you know, they reboot shit in comics all the time. Fuck them if they don't like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's kind of why I don't care that they've done something else with Spider-Man, because it happens in the comics. If you want to do comic book movies, you're going to have to apply that to it. And, I mean, I almost think that is one of the big problems. Even though it's not even related to Spider-Man, it was a problem, I think, when they tried to do Superman. They didn't really start fresh. And I think that they were smart in starting fresh here to tell a different story, a different Spider-Man story. It's a different Peter, it's a different Spider-Man. And I kind of like the intrigue with the parents and how he gets into everything, thinking about, you know, what his father was doing and how he kind of does create Lizard in a way, because he provides something that he probably shouldn't have. And I found that really interesting. And I don't know, I liked everything about it. And there's a lot of strength. Like, he's a good kid. You know what I mean? He's just likable. And, you know, I liked the stuff that they have with him in school. Like, they keep him at that age.
And it doesn't, huge. You know. Like, high school was such a big thing for the original Spider-Man stuff.
Yeah.
And Raimi, within, like, I mean, what? He was there for
20 minutes?
45 minutes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that was it. The rest of the time, you know, he's living in the city with James Franco and everything else. And it's like, what about the high school stuff? Like, even the subtle nod to the high school stuff, where at the end they show Flash with the Spider-Man shirt. That was a huge thing in the comics.
That was so awesome.
Yeah. And I mean, the comics, there was that huge thing where Flash hated Peter, who was a huge Spider-Man fan. And it was the irony of it. And I like that stuff. And, like, where they just, Raimi dropped all that, and I love Raimi, so I'm not hating on Raimi.
No.
Just that Raimi's vision was not Spider-Man. That was Raimi's Spider-Man. That wasn't Spider-Man. This is more Spider-Man, and you have now opened up the whole catalog with Spider-Man stories, because you have stuck truer to the comic book, so you can do those.
Are you done?
Never.
He's never done.
I wanted to jump in because you're making valid points that now that I wanted to bring up. Jesus Christ, you talk a lot.
Slowly, and eventually I will get the words out of my mouth.
That's why we love you.
I'm trying to keep my fucking thoughts in order, because you keep blowing past everything. talking so goddamn much. With certain storylines that can transpire and should transpire with these characters, especially Gwen Stacy and Flash, can you see this being a trilogy, or does it have to go 4 films at least, especially because of what happened with a certain character?
Okay, we can go... I think it can be a trilogy. Do you want me to say my theory of how this will happen? I've already worked on a theory.
Before you do that, real quick, I think the big thing that everyone is focused on, and you know, this not being, you know, as good as the Raimi films or whatever, we are so, this is one of the first things that popped in my head when I realized that this is the best Spider-Man movie that we have seen to date, is because Sam Raimi's Spider-Man revolutionized the way we saw superhero movies.
Yes.
And it was the first time a character, you know, like Spider-Man was brought to the big screen. And for what it was done pretty fucking good. He gave us a really great taste that was more, I want to say, maybe focused more on visuals, even though the visuals weren't all that great. Then it did the character development and storyline, maybe knowing that he was only going to do up to 3 and trying to cram it into this little tight-knit story, as opposed to, you know, giving it to Webb and starting it out in high school and keeping the first movie so tight in that time frame that, like you said, it can expand everything and can do it for a long time. And I think it could be fucking fantastic. So yes. That's my whole thought on that.
Mm. Yeah, I agree.
All right. So here's my theory. And fair warning, people, there's a bit of a spoiler alert that I will give now. Not because I know my theory is dead on, but because of what happens in comic books that has to happen in this. And if you haven't read the comic books or aren't familiar, you might not want to hear it. All right. Anyway, here's my theory. Based on the credit scene, we're introduced to another character that there's a lot of intrigue and discussion about in terms of who it is. The most likely suspects, in my opinion, are Mysterio, Electro, or Norman Osborn. I'm pretty certain it's one of those three because it makes the most sense of who would be able to get into the hospital and who would be able to leave so easily from seeing Lizard. So my theory is what we're going to be seeing is we're basically seeing a trilogy that involves the Sinister Six. Sinister Six is...
God damn, how did I not think of that?
It's got a revolving door. So there's different, you know, different characters who have been in it, different villains who have been in it over time. But basically the way they kind of set that up at the end, it's like you could get a feel for a group of villains existing and being there. And that's my theory, is Norman is controlling this. I think in the second movie, we are definitely going to have more than one villain. And I think we aren't going to get introduced to Green Goblin till the end of the second movie.
Which is going to go into the third movie when Gwen Stacy loses? No? Okay.
I think...
Really?
My theory is Gwen's gone at the end of 2.
Really?
I'm thinking Empire Strikes Back, huge downer. Mm. Huge downer.
Okay. So you're not even having Venom in it then, are you?
No. Fuck Venom. No Venom. This is all going to be, I think you got Mysterio, you got Electro, you got Norman, you could have Lizard. From there you could also have Kraven introduced, you could have Chameleon introduced. There's plenty that you could work in there that have appeared. I mean, Sandman has been in there. Rhino has been in there.
God, Sandman would be... I'd be okay with them bringing Sandman because that would be badass.
And that's the thing. Is Sandman, Electro, Mysterio is a little bit more of a stretch, but you could see Sandman, Electro, Rhino. You could see any of those guys working at Oscorp because of the weird science experiments that are involved in their powers. Mm. So it could easily fit in there. One of the big reasons why Electro is one of the rumored people in the final scene was because of all the lightning in the background.
Right.
Mysterio, obviously, he's able to used his powers where he could easily sneak in there. Norman, just from having power, could. Another one was Chameleon, could have made his way in there because he can basically become anybody, so he could have gotten into the hospital. But my two main theories are definitely, even above Norman, I think it was either Mysterio or Electro, which would be awesome to see. I mean, Electro on screen would be visually stunning.
As long as it doesn't look like the porno version, I think we'll be fine.
I don't know what the porno version looks like, but I will agree with you without seeing it.
I really want to show you, but I can't find the picture.
I love your theory more than mine, but what I wouldn't mind seeing would be, and my thought was, it would be Lizard going into the second movie and then introducing, like you said, Green Goblin going into, taking that into the third movie where Gwen Stacy would die, and then bring in Flash at the end of the third movie as Venom and have him as the fourth movie. Kind of a last hurrah Spider-Man right. Venom well, thing.
Here's one thing. Eddie Brock becomes Venom, not Flash.
That's right. What if Flash was just...
Flash was always a friend, but see, there is a good storyline which you could easily work into this, where at one point Flash disguises himself as Spider-Man and is believed to be Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
And is captured by some villain.
Why did I think that Flash had something to do? Then who the fuck became Carnage?
Carnage was, I can't remember his name, but he was a serial killer. It wasn't him either. Okay. Flash had a lot of history and kept coming back and stuff, but, Eddie Brock would be the one. And the reason I don't think you'll see Venom at all in these is because with Daily Bugle only being in the one newspaper that they showed,
mm-hmm.
There's not enough time to truly build Venom, where I think that'd be better off later on. I think they will try and do their best to separate themselves from the Raimi movies, and I don't think they'll force that in. I think by doing like the Sinister Six across three movies, you cover a lot of the core villains. Vulture would be another one that you could easily work in there.
And you can do the B storyline too.
Yeah. So, you got a lot of room with that to kind of fit in, to introduce other villains for later on. Part of me thinks it'd be really cool if they didn't, or maybe just briefly introduce Kraven the Hunter, so you could do, his big storyline later on, which was a pretty well.
I don't know that one.
The Last Hunt. Shit, now I can't think of what it is.
Oh, I know it. Oh, I've heard the name.
Yeah.
I'll look it up. I got the internet in front of me.
I think there's a lot of potential here, and I really don't get the hate, because ultimately it's a good story. They pulled off the romance far better than the other ones tried to. And anybody that says, well, I didn't like that, has never read a Spider-Man comic book, because romance has always been a core feature in Spider-Man books.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's Betty Brant, Gwen Stacy, Mary Jane, romance has always been there. And that was one thing they found out when they did that whole thing and negated Peter's marriage to MJ, is they found out without the romance, he's not who he is. It is the people that surround him that make him who he is. Other completely random side note about the movie, Sally Field is Aunt May. Fucking phenomenal.
I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it.
Just so, so good. Also, with that relationship, I'm sorry, the emotional relevance of the death of Uncle Ben in Amazing Spider-Man was tremendous. I look at these. It didn't have any resonance with me from Raimi's Spider-Man. It just happened. It never really hit me in the heart or anything. This one, I was like, see how it hurt him and how it hurt Aunt May and their position.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was great. It was well acted. It was believable. For a story I've heard a million times, the fact that it could still impact me, I was like, well done. Can you tell I like the movie?
No, it feels like you hated it completely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I tell you one part I hated, though?
Was it the skateboarding?
No, it wasn't the skateboarding because I played Tony Hawk where you could...
I was going to say, I loved the skateboarding because of that. Because once he got into Tony Hawk, like, he even has it as a weapon in some of the fighting games, doesn't he? Like, he slingshots his skateboard at people.
I didn't mind it because he kind of, like, discovers how he can move and whatever, you know. It's a discovery scene.
And I gotta tell ya, you know what? For modern day, it makes sense, you old fucking fogies. Like, yeah. I'm sorry, just walking my dog today, I mean, the amount of kids I saw on skateboards, everything else.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, kids all skateboard. The only thing that is tough is it's tough because a skateboarder you really can't call a nerd, and it was kind of hard to sell that nerd aspect of him with him being a skateboarder.
But nerds aren't really nerds that, you know, the stereotype used to be anymore.
True.
Yeah, didn't you see 21 Jump Street?
No, I haven't yet. It's next in my...
Fucking watch it. I love that movie.
Oh, get on that shit, man.
It's so good.
But no, the part I hate, and it's such a small, small part, but it was one of those things I was like, that was the stupidest, most unneeded thing ever. Was the fucking lizards.
I know, what the fuck?
There was no reason for it. There was no reason why iguanas and chameleons and all these other things are just randomly roaming around New York and find him. He had no power over them.
I think that they kind of overdid it. Like, when we saw a few, it's like, oh, that's a good reference. And then they kept coming, and my mom and I are like, what the fuck?
Yeah, like, if they just left it that one original one we see when he becomes the lizard, I would have been cool. I'd been like, oh, that's neat, that's fine. It was that scene in the sewer where they all start flooding. I'm like, this is fucking retarded. Like, it just, it's so unneeded and just ridiculous. As somebody else I talked to referenced, it was like the scene with the bat bomb in Batman Begins in the Arkham Asylum. It's just like, really, I get it. He's fucking Batman. He don't make him control bats. It's stupid. So, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
That's like my biggest...
I don't know. I didn't really like... Like, as I said, I mentioned what I really didn't like. But, I don't know. One of the things people keep complaining about, and I feel like I really need to address it, because it annoys me to no end, is how it's, everybody keeps saying it's so emo, it's so full of angst. I'm sorry, did you not have any angst and emo moments as a teenager? And you didn't probably go through nearly what he was going through. To me, it was fine. It never bothered me. I mean, I had so much angst and fucking emo moments as a teenage girl. Honestly, it's just like, what, have you forgotten 10 years ago that you were probably like crying in your room every day? Like, seriously.
And have you ever read a Spider-Man comic?
Yeah, basically.
Every Spider-Man comic is him pretty much hating his fucking life, but doing it because it's his power and everything else. With great power comes great responsibility. That old slogan. He hates that he is this and can't live a normal life.
Mm-hmm.
He is a fucking downer. Mm-hmm. But that's who he was.
But Spider-Man was awesome. That's Spider-Man was that's why he jokes so much.
He's relatable. He's a relatable character. He always has been.
And agreed. That was the whole purpose of creating him. Was he was likable.
Yeah.
Like, you could sit there and look at him and be like, I knew people like him or I was him.
You were Spider-Man?
He was. He used to wear that costume, didn't you see him?
Yep. Only in the sack. I'd be like, look at me, web shooter!
Yeah, I know what your web shooter is, but that's...
Exactly.
You know. Before we kind of wrap it up, I just want to get your guys' reaction to the picture I linked you to of Electro in the porno movie. Hopefully you can see it.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, you know what? It's not as bad as I would have imagined, sadly enough.
It's the cod piece that sells it.
Yeah. Well, I would have expected lightning coming from the cod piece. So.
Maybe there is in the movie.
Yeah. Wow.
Okay, this has gone on just maybe a little bit longer than I thought, but I should expect things to go long with matches.
When talking to me, yeah.
Exactly.
Fuckers.
So, I don't know, do you guys have any last thoughts on The Amazing Spider-Man?
It was amazing.
Agreed.
Okay. Where would you rank it on, like, the recent slew of superhero movies?
The worst.
The worst.
But there's been a lot of good ones. I mean,
what are you considering recent cup? Because the worst?
The last, like, what, 10 or so years? Oh, that's not really recent, is it? Yeah.
I thought you meant, like, recent, like, 3 years.
Oh, a bit even longer that, than I that, I'm thinking, worst, really.
At all. I think it's better than Thor. It's better than Green Lantern. And I like Thor in... I didn't completely like Green Lantern, though I own it. It's better than it.
It's better than Green Lantern, but that's not...
I didn't think about those. I don't know why I'm not considering those really superheroes. Maybe it's because it's a DC.
But, like, I mean...
I also think about it.
I wouldn't put it above Avengers. I thought Avengers was tighter and it had more things resolved and everything.
Which is funny because people are saying they like this better than the Avengers, which I find interesting. Well, they're
fucking retarded.
But, you know, again, they're people. I think this goes with a lot of people that didn't really like Raimi's version are all over this one a lot, and that might have something to do with it. I don't know. But Avengers definitely one of the best. I don't think this tops that at all.
Yeah, and that's kind of how I sit too. Is Avengers was too good. I'd put this up there. Is it the same as Captain America in my book? No, just because Captain America, I wanted to see done right so badly that lucked out as it did. I don't know. I'd say this is up there with Captain America. X-Men First Class, I think, is better. I think this one might be better once we see the other movies, too, if that makes sense.
I think
this is going to read as a true trilogy, not just three Spider-Man movies.
I think so, too. I think it'll work.
Just like Prometheus. Well, like
that. Yeah, Prometheus is probably going to work with other films. Although, the other films can't change the stupidity of some of Prometheus, but that's... Not what I'm gonna get into.
Wait, you didn't like Prometheus?
I liked Prometheus. I just felt it had a lot of problems.
Oh, go away.
Yep, we're done. This podcast is over.
No. You have to accept that movie does have its problems. But again, it's from a script point. It's not like there were things that just didn't flow right. But there was a lot of good about it that I really liked.
I'm going to put it to you this way, Marcy. I think the things that didn't flow right, I don't think were script. I think they were editing, and they will be resolved.
Well, yeah, there is that, too. I mean, I am curious for a longer cut of Prometheus.
Yeah.
That movie's like 3.5 hours
long. I'm not going to... There's no way I can dislike a movie that has a robotic Michael Fassbender. Who, I really need to own one of those. I would never leave the house. I'm going to shut up. Okay. It's not a discussion unless it ends on something like that.
Yes, exactly.
All right. So, yeah, thanks, guys, for our Spider-Man discussion. And, yes, we will chat soon, I would assume. We have The Dark Knight Rises coming soon, and I'm sure we'll be all over that. Going to the local premiere.
Wait, what?
Pick them up.
Oh, okay, good, you fucker.
Yeah, I'm going to the premiere.
And you ain't got shit yet, bitch. I got the tickets.
That's true.
Yeah, I'm just going
to
the...
Be nice to me, motherfucker.
I'm just going to the premiere and everything, but, you know. I will be seeing it before everybody else. I'm excited about that.
We don't care.
Yeah, I'm absolutely going to rub it in everyone's face.
I don't know.
Yeah, you will. I've heard stories about you.
Yeah, just like a stripper rubs their tits in everyone's faces for money.
Good.
And a snatch. I'm going to rub this just all over everyone.
I need to go have dinner.
Yeah, let Coco go eat.
Yes. After that, I'm sure you really want to eat now.
He's going to go eat his wife's Batman.
Yep. Till we meet again. Catch you guys later.
Later.
And for our, well, for this little segment of the podcast, I am joined by one of our regular podcasters and contributors and all-around awesome person, Fowler Man or Spider Logan. Logan Man?
Fowler
I don't know.
Fowler Man does whatever a Fowler can. And I can because I am one.
Exactly. That was very Dr. Seuss almost.
Yes.
Which fits.
Makes sense.
It does. That was a bad introduction. This, like I said previously, which everyone will hear this twice, it doesn't feel like a super podcast unless the introductions are awkward and weird. They have
just like,
to be.
Just like Peter Parker.
Exactly. I'm very much like Peter Parker.
See, it was perfect. It worked
exactly.
out.
Exactly. Yeah. This is our part of our little bit of a Spider-Man, the Amazing Spider-Man podcast. Which we'll re-explain again. The idea for doing this is just because opinions seem to be all over the place for this film. And it just seems like you're either going to love it or hate it. And we're just examining that with different people. And personally, I was in the boat that I really liked it a lot. I think this movie, for me, I think was better than the first Spider-Man movie. But I kind of think the second one is better than this. But I have those reasons, which I actually explained in a different segment, and I'm not going to go over that again. Because you are like our resident Spider-Man expert, I mean, you have a Spider-Man related tattoo and everything.
Can you say tattoo again?
Tattoo?
Oh, you said tattoo.
Tattoo.
Like not like Tatooine, it was just like tattoo.
Tattoo.
Like, that's how, yeah.
Tatooine.
Like, just break that off from Tatooine.
Tatooine, tattoo.
Yeah.
Tattoo. Yeah.
Well, we're not talking about Star Wars today, we're talking about Spider-Man.
No, that's right. So seeing as you're like our resident expert on all things Spider-Man, I'll let you give us your thoughts on it. And because I didn't add this before, and I don't know what order these are going to be in on the podcast, which is kind of funny me saying this on the podcast. On the other segments, I didn't really get to add this one thing, which I really just want to add now before I forget. One of the things I really liked about this film is the handling of the character of Flash and his relationship with Peter, and especially how they handled the death of I was gonna say Uncle Sam, Uncle Ben.
Uncle Sam.
I have two Uncle Sams, so
the burglar killed America.
I mean Uncle Ben, and of course at the end with the Spider-Man thing, but I just wanted to add that because I will probably forget to add it on whatever other segment we have.
I will touch upon those things because I'm probably just going to have to like think about the movie and just kind of touch upon all the little things.
Yeah.
Am I allowed to kind of talk about the Raimi films? Is that kosher?
You may. If you feel like you need to do a comparison or comic comparisons, you may.
I mean, I'm just going to do a brief like overview. I'm not going to take up too much time because obviously I'm sure they've been compared to death, and obviously they're going to be because, you know, they revolve around the same character. Just coming from a background of somebody who started reading Spider-Man in high school due to very strong personal reasons, and somebody who's fictionally has helped me really, I guess, grow as a person. I got into Spider-Man for the same reason a lot of people did. It just hit a lot closer to home, the character of Peter Parker kind of being an outcast and stuff like that, and somebody who I really could identify with in high school because I was very unpopular and I didn't have any luck with the ladies.
I didn't have any luck with the ladies either, but I wasn't trying. No, actually, that's wrong. I probably would have all the luck in the world with the ladies. Who doesn't want a piece of this? Oh, shut up now.
You're so beautiful, you could turn anyone gay.
Exactly.
Or all females gay. Anyway.
Hold on. Can I just pause it? Because I have a phone call.
Sure.
Hold on.
All right. So anyway, kind of where, you know, I was in 2002 when mm-hmm. the first Raimi film came out, you know, I was a freshman in college and like I was like a kid in a candy store when that movie came out, and I still hold it in really high regard because it does have such a nostalgic like, you know, draw for me. Mm-hmm. And it still is my favorite of all three. I mean, obviously there's only really two good movies in that trilogy, let's be honest.
Well, we know that, really.
Yeah, because I feel like it gets a lot more right than the second one. And the second one is, I know a lot of people really love it to death. And it does do a good job with the balance of Peter Parker. I just feel like it gets bogged down by the soap opera elements of the Mary Jane and Peter Parker stuff. But, you know, Alfred Molina is great as Doc Ock. I felt like his character ending at the end of the movie, his death, really didn't feel like the Doc Ock I knew from the comics, so that's why I kind of had an issue with it. But the train sequence is by far...
pretty awesome.
The hospital sequence as well with Doc Ock arms. Like, those two scenes in that movie is worth the price of admission alone.
Yeah, agreed.
And kind of trying to segue into The Amazing Spider-Man, what Raimi did, I think I'm pronouncing it right, Raimi did with those movies is he definitely made them seem very wide in scale and epicness, and he really knew how to make these big set pieces and stuff like that. And that's something that, you know, can't be taken away from those films, and they do have their strong moments, but I feel like their character-driven stuff, it doesn't really work. I never felt like – I liked Tobey Maguire. I was actually not upset with his casting when I first heard of it. I just felt like through the three films, they never really made Peter grow as a character in the way that I wanted to see him grow as a person. I never really liked Kirsten Dunst as Mary Jane.
No, I really didn't like that at all. And I don't think they had chemistry, and I never really bought their relationship.
No.
At all. So that really didn't work. And that's something that, you know, a relationship was, I think they fixed it for this. Even though her character's not there, they did something else. I just think that feels much better. Anyway, continue.
And then, you know, William Dafoe was a, you know, he was kind of campy and a very, like...
The films are very campy, but...
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing wrong with that.
And then, like I said, Alfred Molina was great. I'm just completely just avoiding the third one. Because obviously the third one is the reason that why we're here is, you know, five years later, we start from scratch. The movie, The Amazing Spider-Man, you know, I had my doubts, despite the fact that it is my favorite comic book character, even though there's been issues of the comics where I've completely thrown down, you know, the paper and disgust of what somebody wrote or whatever, I've still stayed, you know, I'm trying to get back into reading him due to financial just shit that I'm going through. Couldn't really afford comics, and that made me sad. So to the benefit of The Amazing Spider-Man, I'm actually trying to start rereading The Amazing Spider-Man, the comic book. I wouldn't say with low expectations. I was excited, but not like 2002 movie excited. I was excited, but not that much. I was really pleased by the casting. Some of them inspired choices. Dennis Leary's Captain George Stacy.
He was awesome. He was scene-stealing awesome.
Yeah. You know, and then Andrew Garfield had made a speech, I think it was at last year's San Diego Comic-Con, about how passionate he was about this character. And that right there made me like really, really happy that they chose him. For the sake of the matter, and this is just a little aside, he is very British and he pulls off an amazing American accent, as most British people do. he has the more overall look that I would like in a Peter Parker slash Spider-Man. Spider-Man's always been a bit more taller and ganglier, whereas Tobey Maguire's was, like, shorter and more stocky.
Mm-hmm.
Spider-Man is more of an athletic character. You know, he flips, he spins, he, you know, he flies with his webs. So that's something that, you know, I felt like they can portray more with that body type. Going right off with the positive, watching this movie, and then you kind of think about the Raimi films, the way they made Spider-Man move, whether it be stuntman or CGI, was completely 100% perfect.
Yeah.
You know, like in the Raimi films, it was kind of like a seesaw way of moving. He went up, he went down, he went left, he went right, but that's really it. Like, there was no major acrobatic shit going on in those movies. Nothing that would made your, like, eyeballs, like, pop.
Yeah.
In this movie, like, I'm even looking at it right now, there's a scene at the end of the movie where, like, seconds right before the credits rolled, there's a scene where he's, like, shooting a web right at the audience.
Mm-hmm.
And his leg is, like, you know, cocked in the air. The other one's underneath his, like, crotch area. But this is something that, like, I would see. And, like, every time they made, like, put in, like, you know, obviously he's a very CGI-based character. He moves, like, I mean, you can make, like, you have a human do it, but, like, there has to be some CGI incorporated.
Mm-hmm.
The way they made him move, I seriously was, like, I was grinning from ear to ear. Like, that's the way I wanted him to move.
Yeah, there was more, like, spidery elements in it.
Right.
As well, you know.
Yeah, and, like, I was listening to another podcast, the Joe Blow Movie Podcast, where, you know, one of the podcasters said something like, in the sewer, like, he creates a web to make sonar. Like, he uses the webs for the, like, as, like, a really unique, for really unique purposes, but also as a weapon. And that's something, like, the Raimi films never really did. He just kind of used them and that was it. This one, he's, like, his webs are massively important to him. Kind of focusing less on the Spider-Man stuff, more on the other stuff. I thought Emma Stone was the I wouldn't say the embodiment, but she looked exactly like Gwen Stacy. They made her dress in Gwen Stacy outfits.
Yeah.
The relationship between her and Garfield is obviously so charismatic and so, like, realistic that they're dating in real life now. Like, they're, you know, the way that they acted towards each other was exactly like people who were, like, really interested in each other would, which is, like, basically, like, shuts the box on Maguire and Dunst. Like, they had nothing, whereas these two were, like, it was just, like, you could feel it from the start. Looking at, you know, the smaller people, Dennis Leary, like you said, stole every scene he was in. He kind of was like a mashup between, you know, the police captain and J. Jonah Jameson because he's like, he's a menace, he wears a mask.
Yeah, and obviously because this is so early on, they're obviously not going to have the Daily Bugle and J. Jonah Jameson, so they needed something to kind of counterbalance that, which I think they did a good job.
Yeah, I mean, you still get a hint of the Daily Bugle, you still see, like, the paper, which has gone from, like, you know, left to right reading to up to down. Which I think the Daily Bugle always – I always picture that as a Daily Bugle as a, you know, reading up to down paper, not a left to right. Or, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, the way you flip the pages, I guess what you're saying. I think Martin Sheen's portrayal as Uncle Ben is 10 times better than Cliff Robertson. I think that when he – you know, he bit the dust. I don't think it's just really the what is it I'm trying to say?
I'm not saying anything against
Cliff Robertson. I'm not just saying the death is more effective. I think it's just character's more effective, and that when he does die, it's way more impactful.
I thought this was handled a bit better. And I don't know. I felt there was just more of a connection of Ben and Peter than there was previously, but in a different way. And that's why I think it just felt like it was handled better.
Yeah, and I have to agree. And I think the thing about, like, you know, the 2002 movie was that, like, when Ben dies, you're instantly thrown into a chase sequence, which I think that doesn't allow the audience to absorb the death.
Yeah.
Which completely has changed here. And then, you know, Peter starts kind of like, you know, going out on his vendetta. And then, you know, it kind of, you know, gets put aside because Captain George Stacy says something along the lines of, like, this guy's, like, looking for somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I thought the death of, you know, Uncle Ben was handled much, much better. Kind of touching upon the Flash stuff that you mentioned, I think that keeping him in high school, like Peter in high school, was a good touch because, like, there's a scene post Uncle Ben death where Flash, like, and Peter have a moment that it was, I was like, holy shit, like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And there's a scene at the end of the movie and it ties back into the comics where Flash, you know, like, you know, shows off, you know, he's wearing a Spider-Man shirt.
Yeah.
You know, and, like, you know, Peter's like, nice shirt. And, like, you know, he's like, dude's crazy, but the chicks dig him, which is, you know, a big deal because Flash is like, they always demonstrated that Flash is a huge Spider-Man fan.
Yeah.
I felt that Sally Field, I liked her. I just hope they give her more to do in the sequel.
I think she will. And I think that there's probably, you know, some stuff that got deleted, because one of the things I found, I mean, there's certain things in this film that just didn't flow or feel right, and I know that's because of editing.
Mm-hmm.
There are definitely a lot of things missing, and I think if, you know, I'm hoping we do get, like, a director's cut that kind of fixes that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think that it's possible there is a bit more, but, like, I don't know if you mentioned it on this or on before we actually started recording, but just the scene of, like, him giving her the eggs kind of meaning.
Yeah, oh my you God, know, yeah.
That just means so much that,
yeah.
You know, I think that we'll definitely see more because I think, you know, he definitely is, you know, he's a person, he's a character who's still reeling from the loss of his parents.
Right.
And he holds so much resentment there. So I think, you know, it's interesting.
Okay. Anyway. Yeah, and I agree. And I think the egg carton handoff was something that was kind of a nod to the comics. And something that, like, kind of, because there's a lot that happens to Peter in the first, like, you know, his uncle dies, he's concerned about his parents, you know, and stuff like that. So I feel like he's selfish. Which is something I'll get to a little bit later. I want to kind of dole in the negatives and then get back to the positives. Rhys Ifans, the guy who plays Dr. Kurt Connors, Rhys Ifans,
I think. Whatever. Is that how you say it? Rhys Ifans?
That know. British guy, the British doctor guy with one arm.
The British doctor guy. That works for me. With no arm.
They kind of tie him in into the, you know, the untold story of Spider-Man, which I think was kind of like a marketing scheme. Like, I really don't feel like there was much of the untold story of this movie. You know, and like, oh, well, you know, what's happened to Peter's parents? You know, did they die? Whatever. And there's also a continuity error with that, too. I don't know, which I'll get to that in a second. Rhys Ifans, the guy who plays Dr. Kurt Connors, I liked him. I felt that. You know, I felt bad because, like, they didn't really give him enough time to the audience to, you know, gain sympathy for him. Like, cause you're supposed to feel sympathy for this guy. And that's the thing that they had in the comics is, like, Peter and, you know, Dr. Kirk Connors in the comics are really good friends. So when he changes in the liver, when he changes into the liver,
when he changes into a Goomba, I mean, what?
Yeah. When he changes into like a Goomba blob,
into the Goomba from Super Mario.
You know, you don't really feel much for him. Like, you understand, like, he wants to grow his arm back. Like, who wouldn't?
You know, but, does he know they have prosthetics and stuff?
Yeah, but I guess he wants, like, a legit arm.
Yeah.
You know, like, so, and that's the other thing, too, is, like, that character, he's kind of, like, tough to absorb to modern day. Like, because, like you said, there's prosthetics. Like, you know, man, just get over it. Like, you know, there's science has come so far. obviously you should know this, you're a scientist, but whatever. But, you know, and that's the other thing too. Like, I just felt like, you know, you're supposed to have like feel some sort of sympathy for the doctor, which we didn't get.
Yeah, which I brought this up previously, but I think that's one of the stronger points of Spider-Man 2 is you get the sympathy with Doc Ock and
because you get to meet him like pre-transformation, and I feel like there's like, you know, Peter and Otto share that dinner scene, you know, before he changes, so like they have that personal connection. Mm-hmm. You know, and the whole brilliant but lazy thing, like, that's, like, you know, a nod and stuff like that. And it's sad, too, because, like, you know, we had, you know, Dr. Kirk Connors in both movie 2 and 3. So, like, you know, we obviously got to spend some time with him. So his changing into the lizard in a possible movie 4 would have been a lot more impactful. However, we didn't get that, so here we are. The lizard CGI wasn't bad. I just really couldn't work around the design. Like, I felt that, like, he moved really cool and, like, you know, he breathed like a lizard. But I just, I don't know. Like, I felt like I didn't really like the face. I am definitely more pro-snout than anti-snout. When he had the lab coat on, I thought that was cool because that's like a you know, the lizard always has his lab coat on in the comics, like the animated series.
It was a big nod to it, for sure.
But yeah, I don't really think that the design didn't really work for me. He was, I understand he's kind of like a springboard character to start with, and you know, and they're obviously by the mid-credit scenes, they showed kind of that they're gonna get to the bigger shit later on in the series, because this movie definitely like ties it into a sequel. There's also like Norman Osborn's name is dropped multiple times because he's dying, and then like this Indian dude who I kind of forget the name of.
I know, he's just the Indian dude.
Just the Indian dude.
He really was.
Like, he's in the movie for a little bit. He gives Dr. Kirk Connors some shit, and then Dr. Kirk Connors turns into lizard and gives him some shit on the bridge.
Yeah, he was an expendable character. That's why we don't know his name.
So yeah, he kind of disappears, which is another problem.
Yeah.
But whatever, I didn't really care. I felt like he was just there to give him shit and then tell him about Norman Osborn. And then, you know, he's like, you got to do human tests. And then, you know, Dr. Kirk Connors is like, well, I'm a human. I'll do a test on myself because, you know, Norman Osborn is dying and, you know, we got to fix this. So the villain arc really wasn't the strongest point of the movie. So that's that. The continuity error kind of goes back to the untold story, because there's a scene where Uncle Ben, you know, says like, you know, something about responsibility and Peter's dad, and Peter's like, well, where is my father? But if you watch in the beginning of the movie, there's an article that Peter brings up on his computer
that
saying
they died,
and a plane crash. Obviously, that was in post production or something. Like, somebody just was like, yeah, I'm throwing that in. Like, you gotta check, dude. Like, that's continuity error.
Yeah.
Right there. That's small, great, whatever. The only other thing is, too, is kind of, I wasn't really ecstatic about Peter's wardrobe. Like, I understand he's really super smart, and, like, I don't think that, like, super smart people should dress, like, smart or, like, nerdy or whatever.
Yeah.
But I don't really feel that Peter would own a Ramones t-shirt, but that's just me. They kind of gave him this, like, hipster overcoat to wear the whole time. You know, he wears kind of, like, the scene where he's kind of hanging out on, like, the roof, like, when he's doing homework and studying, like, the Oscorp book. Like, that's what I picture Peter wearing. Like, the kind of stuff that he wears during the course of the movie, I just feel like Peter wouldn't wear. But that's a small gripe, I guess. Whoever picked out Emma Stone's wardrobe,
that was
like,
spot on, though.
I need to shake their hand. Like, that's Gwen Stacy outfits. Like,
yeah, exactly. Like, it was spot on. It was great.
So, and now on to the biggest part of the movie, which is Andrew Garfield. Dude fucking owned. Not only, like, like was he like an like a kind of like doofy Peter Parker, like not like Tobey Maguire doofy, like he played like the aloof kind of guy a lot better. Like, because Peter Parker is super smart, but, like, he's socially awkward, I feel like. Like, mm-hmm. he doesn't know how to talk to girls. And it's not because he's smart. He just, like, that's how he is. Like, he's shy, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, that scene that he had with Gwen when, like, you know, he's like, you know, and you want to do something or we could do something else. And then she's like, yeah, either one. And, like, he kind of, like, you know, the Coldplay song comes on and he kind of does, like, that, like, little spin. Like, that's just how high school kid is. He's, like, he's socially awkward. He's, like, you know, he doesn't know how to connect with people. And all of a sudden, like, he's got this really attractive girl who's, like, yeah, I'll go out on a date with you. And he just sees, like, he's on cloud nine.
Yeah.
He acted like how a high school kid at that age, I feel like, would act because he's, like, he's excited. Like, yeah. He's not, like, an asshole kind of kid. He's just, like, you know, he does, like a little, like, geeky spin. Like, he's happy.
Yeah, he's meant to be a 17-year-old kid, and that's what I think a lot of people just don't seem
right.
to realize, that
yeah.
they're always hating on it. It's like, he's 17. How many... Don't you remember when you were 17 or 16? You were doing probably stupider shit than that. Like,
right.
honestly, get over it.
You know, and then he kind of goes into selfish mode where he's,
mm-hmm.
you know, like... I don't care what my uncle and aunt think. I'm, you know, I got fucking superpowers now. I do whatever I want. And then it obviously is a slap in the face.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, he lets the guy who, he lets Uncle Ben die. They don't really resolve that burglar thing in this movie.
No, it's not, because he never finds him.
No.
But he kind of gives up that kind of revenge quest as well.
Right. But I think that in the comics, they gave it a lot of time. Like, it wasn't an immediate find, like, you know,
mm-hmm.
but it still is, like, impactful because, like, he has to realize that, like, and they don't really say with great power comes great responsibility in this movie, but I feel like it's really hinted at, and I understand it's, like, the ultimate phrase of this universe, but I feel that they were trying to really just kind of put their own, no pun intended,
yeah, exactly.
spin on it.
Yeah.
So I felt that was, you know, they got the point across.
Yeah, exactly.
When Garfield is in the Spider-Man costume, his quips, his quotes, his whatever you want to call them, dude, I can't even tell you how happy I was. Like, I wrote in my review of, like, you know, this movie, I was like, if I had told the Logan from 2002 that this movie was going to have all the things that I wanted in a Spider-Man movie... I would have waited 10 years. I would have. I really think that they got more of the character correctly, and they don't, like, there's silent moments with him, but he's you know, he's fucking, like, shooting, like, webs out of his nose, like, as a sneeze, like, to this bird, like, this, you know, cop, you know, this car robber in the parking lot. You know, he does, like, a hurricana, like, from a wrestling move, and he just yells,
yeah.
"Crotch!" You know, like, it just, he's doing Spider-Man things, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you know, he's fighting the lizard in the high school, and, like, the cops, like, sirens go off, and he's like, oh, somebody's been a bad lizard. And it's just, like, that kind of shit was just, like, that's what I wanted.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know?
Well, like, how knives
are
his one weakness,
like, well, this
whatever.
Is not the Spider-Man I know.
Well, what Spider-Man are you reading,
somebody.
Buddy?
What?
I said, what Spider-Man are they reading, buddy?
But it's, like, to kind of compare it to the Raimi films, it's, like, there is definitely a different sense of the universe being painted here. It's not as epic. There's not these big set sequences. It feels like a smaller film.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that has to go to, you know, in kind of to get the finger pointed at Mark Webb, because the only other thing he's done is 500 Days of Summer, which is a very small kind of anti-romantic
and
comedy.
I didn't like that movie at all.
Right, but what I'm trying to say is, like, that's his only other experience.
Well, yeah, and this was a lot better than that, thankfully.
Well, yeah, I mean, but what I'm trying to say is, like, this feels like the other kind of corner blockbuster universe,
mm-hmm.
like Spider-Man. It doesn't have an Avengers type feel to it. It doesn't have,
mm-hmm.
like, it's not going to have, like, a Dark Knight feel to it. Although a lot of people are comparing it to Batman, which I wish would fucking stop. This Spider-Man is not Batman because Batman and Spider-Man are different. And a lot of people were like, oh, the tone's different. They made it darker. No, this is not darker. Like, the colors are darker. That's it. Like, he swings around more at night. That's it. Like, that's... And then everyone was comparing his slow motion walk to, like, Twilight. I was like, the slow motion walk took place after Uncle Ben died. It's like, it's timed perfectly. Like, that's how he's feeling. His uncle just passed away. Like, his patriarch, you know, like, his patriarchal figure just died. That's how he feels. He's like, everything's in slow motion when a person really close to you dies.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And if I sound like I'm defending this movie up the ass, I'm sorry. It's not flawless. Like, there's things that I wish that were expanded upon, and I wish that, like, you know, I feel like the untold story was just, like, you know, it's just, like, a chunk of the movie. It really doesn't run its whole entire course in the movie. Like, it's kind of in the beginning and, like, kind of in the middle, and then they kind of pick it up back again at the end, because there's a scene where Dr. Kirk Connors and a character are talking in a, you know, I think it's like a, you know, mental institution. I don't think it's a prison.
It's something. I don't know. It wasn't quite clear, was it?
But he's talking to this guy, and he's like, did you tell the boy about his father? And we don't see this person's face, so the big debate is, who is it?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people said Norman Osborn. I say no, because Norman, you know, as much as they've hinted at him during the movie, Norman Osborn won't wear a fedora. You know, that's just not a character trait of him. The biggest choices that we have right now are Mysterio, because he kind of phases in and out of the room, and Mysterio would be the kind of only person who would do something like that, or Electro, because there's thunderclaps.
Mm-hmm.
But the question is, how is it tied to Peter and his father? So that's what we'll see in the sequel, which obviously this movie is basically definitely like a sequel kind of lead in. The only other thing I wanted to talk about, kind of, and then I'll get back to Garfield, because he obviously is the real meat of this movie.
He's man meat. I mean, what?
Yeah. Shut up. As I was reading today, a blog by Film Crit Hulk, a online blogger who writes in all caps, definitely one I don't read many blogs, obviously, except for yours and ones I really respect. But he wrote this long-ass blog about how The Amazing Spider-Man, they paint Peter Parker as an asshole. And what I will just speak about really quickly is they paint Peter Parker – the movie paints Peter Parker as an asshole, because in the movie he's like, you know, he's selfish. He's, you know, not thinking about Uncle Ben and Aunt May, which I understand, because that's the way he was when he first got his powers.
Mm.
Fine. And then as the movie continues on, he's, you know, whatever. He's doing his Spider-Man thing. He's whatever. The real, like, clincher for me was when, at the end of the movie, you know, are we allowed to be spoilerific?
Yeah, here? We might okay. as well. The other one was.
To make a long story short, Captain George Stacy dies by the hand of the Lizard. So as he's, like, you know, taking his last few breaths, he just tells Peter, you know, keep Gwen out of it. You know, he doesn't want Gwen to be in danger, which is obviously a very reasonable wish for a dying father, mm-hmm. whose daughter is, dating a superhero. So anyway, Peter is, you know, kind of like atop a church or some sort of building, Captain Stacy's funeral, and then, you know, there's a scene where it's pouring rain, and, you know, she's like, my dad told you not to be with me anymore, and Peter's like, yeah, pretty much.
Mm.
So anyway, they go into, they show them at class, and then, you know, Peter's late and something, and then the teacher says something, and I don't remember what it was, but, like, Peter kind of, like, leans into Gwen and whispers, not really in her ear, but kind of, like, so she can hear, and he's like, promise, best kind of promises are the ones you can't keep,
mm-hmm.
which is obviously a nod saying that they're gonna either see each other and kind of try to be with each other, even though Peter, you know, whatever, mm-hmm. George Stacy was like, don't bring her into it. Film Crit Hulk basically said by the end of the movie, Peter Parker's an asshole. And my defense is this. He's 17. He's a 17-year-old teenager who wants to be with a really fucking attractive girl. He's going to do what he wants.
Mm.
This is what I think they can build upon. Well, obviously, I'm not going to be writing it. That would be a dream come true. But they have to understand, and I'm not doubting Film Crit Hulk's expertise or his analysis of this movie, but they have to understand something. 17-year-olds, especially males, are going to be selfish.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not the Spider-Man that's like 30 years old, as you said, pre-podcast. You know, he's still learning his powers. He's still dealing with all the aftermath, you know, and they have to understand something. Like in the first Raimi film, he went from high school to college and then, you know, that's it. Like, you know, he had time to kind of grow. And that's just my defense. Like, a lot of people are like, you know, Peter Parker's an asshole. He's like, dude, he's in high school, and they're trying to make it like high school kids. Like, I've met plenty of 17-year-old high school kids, and guess what? They're assholes.
Yeah, everyone I've met who's in their teens is fucking needs a...
You know, they're immature.
They need me to beat their ass. Like, that's just what you're like when you're a teen. I was a dickhead. I probably needed my ass kicked. I mean, that's just how you are when you're a teen.
You know, and what is Peter Parker going to say to himself? He's like, you know, he's a 17-year-old male. He's thinking with his penis, like, do I respect the wishes of Gwen's father, or do I get to have sex with Gwen Stacy? Well, that's it. He chose the latter because he's 17. His hormones are raging.
That's, you know, just, he wants to that's shoot just a male thing, though. That's not a 17-year-old male thing. That's just an all-the-time male thing.
But, like, you know, he wants to shoot some spider web up in her. That's it. You know, and that's the thing, like, you know, and that's why I'm glad they kept it in the high school realm, because it's like, if it was the college Peter Parker, that wouldn't fly.
Yeah.
You know. Kind of that's like looking at the movie as a whole. It's 2 hours and like 20 minutes long. I never felt like there was a dull moment.
No, I didn't feel that.
Really
long,
enjoyed
really.
Watching it. It wasn't like, I know, and you know, it runs parallel lines, like, you know, there's this spider that bites him, you know, and that's the problem with this, is it is a reboot, it's going to turn a lot of people off.
Yeah, but that actual scene scared the shit out of me, because I hate spiders, you know this, you tell me off about this.
Yeah.
and that scene scared the shit out of me, like, I had a hard time watching it, I'm like, oh my god, this is freaking me the fuck out. The other one didn't, so there's a big difference there.
But, I mean, the thing about that is like, a lot of people are like, it's so unnecessary. It's like, I can understand people's POV, because it just, why do it 5 years after the third one? And it's like, you know, the defense always is the third one sucked. Well, lots of movies sucked. That doesn't mean they reboot them 5 years later. What they're trying to do is they're trying to, you know, get Spider-Man out there again with all these big-ass comic book movies that are coming out. Like, you know, the Avengers just released, Dark Knight Rises is coming out. Like, now is the time to kind of bring Spider-Man back out into the fold, because, like, everything's happening as far as the comic book movie is concerned.
It's not only that, but comic books always retell their story.
Right, exactly.
And this is my point, like, on the other segment, is that you're going to adapt comics to film. You need to take that into consideration, and people need to understand this also.
Right.
And, I mean, obviously studios are thinking money, blah, 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 but, you know, there's always going to be different stories to tell with the heroes, you know, and, I mean, this goes back to like, even though it's not related to Spider-Man, I mean, you know, you got Superman too. And you've had the old series, you had the attempted reboot thing that wasn't even really a reboot and they needed it to be. And now a few years later, they're doing it again. And this is what they should have done to start with and not dwell on what they've had, because they didn't really want to tell those stories. And this is, again, what I think, you know, it is with here. It's different. There's, you know, the origin is a little different. He's younger. It's a younger story and right. there's different characters. I mean, this, you know, it's just a different side of the coin, basically.
Right. The other thing is, too, and I wanted to touch upon really briefly before I kind of wrap up. In the first film, the 2002 version, they kind of had just like Spider-Man being bitten by a spider. He wakes up. He goes to the cafeteria. He shoots a web. He goes outside. Oh, crap. I'm Spider-Man. Look at this. I like how in this movie they gave him a little bit more time to realize like what he could do.
Yeah.
Like I know Beat attacked the scene, but I couldn't. I was dying at the train sequence in this movie.
I thought it was hilarious.
I felt like it was just so more organic. Like, oh shit, he wakes up, like his spider sense goes off. He's on the ceiling. He's just like, you know, he's being clumsy about it. But, like, that's how I felt like Peter Parker would be. Like, he's like, what the hell's going on? And then, like, when he, like, his alarm clock goes off and he smashes it.
All of that stuff, it's like, you know, learning with those powers. But, you know, I look at, like, people who liked Chronicle or loved Chronicle and then having the problems they had with this, why don't they have that with Chronicle? Because that still had teen angst, asshole characters, this and that. Right. It's the same thing. Why is that okay and this isn't?
Because I guess they can apply that to a character that characters that have no like foundation in comic books where Spider-Man has been. Like I understand what they're trying to do. They're trying to give Peter Parker and Spider-Man kind of a more modern day feel and not like they what the Raimi films are, they're trying to harken back to more of the classic, like, way back 60s Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. This is trying to be, like, the more ultimate Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's younger and stuff like that. You know. But, like, there was just so much more, like, touched, like, given, like, there's little things, like not just the web slinging, but, like, he has a backpack. Like, he's on his cell phone. Like, these are just, like, little touches. And, like, just the quips and, like, stuff like that. Like, there's just – the movie overall, like, you know, it's just it flows faster. The actors are way better. The action scenes aren't spectacular, no pun intended, but, like, they work. And what the driving, you know, selling point in the movie is, like, the relationship between Gwen and Peter and – there was a thing that you sent me the other day, the Nostalgia Critic, where it was like, you know, Gwen and Peter go out swinging. It's like, it's 5 seconds and it's over. You know, like, I would have liked to see more of that. Like, the movie is edited really weird.
Yeah, I think they really needed to trim it down because it was probably already really long. And even at its running time, I mean, there still feels like there's a lot missing.
Yeah.
I would watch a 4-hour version of this without a hesitation.
Oh, yeah, I totally would, too. I hope that the Blu-ray has some, like, added features or, you know, added scenes. Like, I'll watch that shit. Or, like, a director's cut.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm just, like, you know. And, like, what I really loved about the movie and, you know, what I think a lot of people are failing to see is that, like, this to me felt like more Spider-Man in character.
Mm-hmm.
Like I never felt like the Raimi movies got that. Like, and like I, you know, and Andrew Garfield is like miles and leaps ahead of Tobey Maguire. You know, because he looks like, you know, Tobey Maguire never looked like he was really enjoying the whole, you know, Spider-Man personal, you know, persona.
He also looked
like, Andrew too Garfield, old. Like, yeah,
that was a big problem. Like, he kind of looked
28, like
too old for him being in it. Like,
right, but the thing about Andrew Garfield is like he's a 28-year-old playing a 17-year-old, but he pulls it off.
Yeah, he looks. I mean, I'm 27. People still think I'm like 19.
Yeah.
So I get that. I mean, he at least looks. I mean, Tobey Maguire never looked like he should have been in high school or even college.
Mm-hmm.
He just looked a bit too old.
Right.
And so did Kirsten Dunst. And James Franco was a bit more baby-faced, so I didn't really... I mean, he was okay. Yeah. But I don't know. There's nothing against, like, Tobey Maguire, because I think he's a great actor and stuff. He has never really annoyed me. I just don't think he really suited the role. As good as he tried for it to be, And I don't know, I just felt maybe he was a bit more at home with the character in 2, and Lord only knows what he was on to make it through 3, so. There's my little rant, anyway.
But there is actors in Hollywood that I would believe that I don't want anybody else to play them. Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man. Mm-hmm. No, it's obviously the first one that comes to mind. But for me, like, I really felt like he understood the character. I mean, the writing is obviously, you know, a big player. Cause you could, you know, you could be the best Spider-Man you could be, but if the writing sucks, then, you know, it's not your fault. And there's some, you know, I mean, I just felt like walking out of the theater, and like I said, you know, like I felt that there was something more about this movie that I got, and I really just enjoyed, than the Raimi films, all 3 of them combined. I mean, a lot of people are saying it's not as good as 2. I'd say I'd probably maybe argue that point. I'd have to go back and watch 2 again. But for me, like, this is the Spider-Man movie that I wanted 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And I still love the Spider-Man movie. And a lot of people are like, if you dislike the other ones, you're going to love this one, and vice versa. No, you can like them all. Mm-hmm. You can, if you like 3, hey, good for you. I mean, more power to you. But as somebody who's been reading Spider-Man, I felt like it's not as epic as those other movies, and it doesn't have those, like, those sequences that are as epic. But what it is like they really focused on the characters, not just, you know, Peter Parker in the suit, out of the suit as well.
Mm-hmm.
And if, you know, there was any soap opera elements, I really didn't fucking care, because the cast is by far, like, better, better than any of the ones in the Raimi films.
Mm.
Anyway, the only one that I'm really concerned about is Sally Field, because I really want her to do more, because she is such an important character.
Yeah, I think that's one thing I think we'll see more of.
But like you said, the little touches, the Flash Thompsons, the more time with Uncle Ben, you know, the you know, whatever we had with Dennis Leary, like, all that stuff really just adds up.
And we know that Martin Sheen was getting his inspiration from real life because of his troubled son.
Right.
With Charlie Sheen.
Sorry,
I knew there was a joke in there somewhere.
And like I said, you know, the movie is not flawless. There's obviously, I took issue with some things, and even after thinking about it, I want to see it again. I saw it in 3D. I really loved the web slinging. As brief as they were, I loved the first person shots. I really loved the sense that they were trying to get you to feel like it was to be Spider-Man. I love the fact that they made him just shoot off at the mouth when he was in costume.
Yeah.
You know, I loved the Andrew Garfield, Emma Stone, you know, relationship. I loved Martin Sheen as Uncle Ben. I loved Dennis Leary. I loved that guy who played Flash Thompson. Rhys Ifans, I really enjoyed. I just wish that, you know, he wasn't just, you know, he did the best with what he could.
Yeah, I mean, the stuff pre-Lizard was a lot better handled than the Lizard stuff, I think.
And I'm really like, I can't, you know, I feel like the theory is that they're going to do with Gwen what was happened in the comics was like, you know, and I'm sure you know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So like if that's going to be a huge payoff if they choose to do that, especially if they're going to do it like trilogy based, because obviously, you know. And I'm really, really stoked that it's the number one movie right now. And obviously it's going to lose that crown when Batman comes to town.
Which he will. He'll come to town.
But I really think that, you know, this movie, it's not like this epic adventure that, you know, the other movies were, but in the end, it's really well crafted. It does have its bugs, no pun intended. But it's just, I have spoken it up to everyone who's asked me, and they are so happy for my excitement. And even people who are like, yeah, 7, maybe 7.5, are like, you liked it that much? Like, dude, I'm so happy that you liked it that much. There's still a part of me that would like Spider-Man to be in the Marvel Studios camp, the guys who made, you know, those movies like Captain America. Until that day, I don't think that I'm ever going to get the perfect Spider-Man movie. But for right now, I really enjoyed it. And I heard I read your mom did too.
She did. She's definitely a convert for superhero movies. I mean, one of the first things she said was like, "Can we get Spider-Man in the Avengers next movie?"
Yeah.
But yeah, no, she's very much like, you know, I mean, she doesn't go to the theater that much, but she's gone to see like the Avengers and this, and you know, we were discussing like, oh, who's your favorite superhero? And she, out of nowhere, she's like, oh, Captain America. I'm like, oh, really? And I go, well, what about?
Fuck yeah!
I'm like, well, what about out of everything? And she's like, well, Christopher Reeve, Superman. I said, fuck yeah. That's exactly right. for our family, yeah. Because she cannot be my mother if that's not her answer. We're a little biased.
That's true.
Yeah.
But no, I really like, I mean, as far as like score wise and like, it might like just be based on the fact that I was so enthralled with what they did with the Spider-Man character, maybe more than to overlook the flaws. But I would definitely say I gave it like a 9.
I gave it 3.5, but I think I would probably change it to 4, maybe.
Yeah.
But there's just a few things that I think bring the score down a little bit, but that's more to do with like editing and
yeah,
a few of those things. It's kind of like what I brought up with Prometheus. I really liked it, but there are definitely problems, and I think they're a little bit on script level and editing level.
Yeah.
Which I think I felt whoever, like things were left out, but also yeah. A bit of the dialogue, which is a bit cheesy.
I mean, and that's the thing, like Spider-Man Prometheus, if you think about it, really, like they've split a lot of people really down
well,
the
they
middle.
Have, which yeah.
It's been a very interesting summer, and they're two totally different movies, but they're related to really popular franchises.
And I think that makes a movie a lot more interesting. You know, everyone loved the Avengers. There was nothing to say, you know, most people really loved it, and there was no discussion. Yeah. At least these films have proved to bring out a lot of interesting discussions. As long as you're not rude to people,
right.
You know, it's fine. And I don't know if The Dark Knight Rises is going to do that. I think that the love is just going to be very unanimous to start with, but we'll see. I mean, it'll be interesting.
One more thing I want to add, and I'm just thinking about it right now. I was kind of still skeptical about the costume, the Spider-Man costume.
I thought it was awesome.
In stills and stuff.
It was awesome.
But in the movie, like, after a while, I was just like, I dig it.
I thought it was really good. It looked really, really good.
You know, it's still classic enough to meet the, you know, the old school look. But yeah. At the same time, it's updated, and it's just like, you know, it really does work.
I think so.
And in some sequences, you're like, but you were like, sometimes I was like, yeah, I'm down. Like, I love it. Like, I actually bought the Diamond Select, like, Spider-Man figure because I actually went in the store looking for one of the figures in that Spider-Man movie costume, and they didn't have any. He's in his traditional costume. I said, no, I want one with the new costume. So I bought the Diamond Select figure. It's hanging on my wall right now. It's got like the new costume. I was specifically looking for that one. Yeah. And anyone who was like, yeah, I don't know how, like, you gotta see it in film.
Yeah, it works a lot better. And I think at least the lizard looked better.
Yeah, I agree.
On film. But he's, to me, he still looks like a Goomba.
He'll always look like a Goomba.
And I send you the picture comparison. It's a fucking Goomba.
Yeah, that's gotta be on the podcast page.
I will. I am going to put that there. But I think let's probably wrap it up because we've gone on like a lot longer than we're meant to.
Yeah. I got excited.
Yeah. You're welcome. And thank you. I hope the listeners get a lot out of it because I think we've brought up some points and I'm sure we're going to get a lot of feedback from people probably telling us we're wrong, which we're not because opinions aren't wrong. And, yes. You know.
My opinion is never wrong.
My opinion is always correct. If you don't follow my opinion, it is definitely wrong. but no, thank you. And yeah, we'll definitely speak soon. And Maybe, you know, maybe a future podcast will be a commentary for some Spider-Man movies. Spider-Man movies. Spider-Man, because I don't want just one.
Spider-Man does whatever a spider can. Spins a web and his size catches thieves just like flies. Look out! Here comes a Spider-Man.
Exactly.
Is he strong? Listen, bud. He's got radioactive blood. But in this movie, he had cross-species genetic blood.
And that was totally okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Updating the series for the modern day. Look out. Here comes Andrew Garfield.
Not to be confused with the big orange cat.
No.
All right, guys. And Logan, thank you. And till next time, I am Super and Logan is a spider.
Thwip.
Later.
Bye.